This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
A new twist this morning for the country's most famous political dynasty.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate. The Democrats are frightened that I'm going to spoil the election for President Biden. Republicans are frightened that I'm going to spoil it for President Trump. The truth is, they're both right.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for President of the United States, not as a Democrat, as his surname might suggest, but as an independent. His father was Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. But RFK Jr. has never held office, and he's perhaps best known for his conspiracy-driven anti-vaxxer views.
The pharmaceutical industry is, I mean, I don't want to say, because this is going to seem extreme, that a criminal enterprise.
If he gets on the ballot, and it's a big if, is he a spoiler candidate that could help Donald Trump beat Joe Biden? Pippa Malgren, who was an advisor to George W. Bush, says he's more than that. She thinks RFK Jr. has a real chance of winning.
I have to say, as someone who's worked in the White House and watched presidential elections, and my father served four presidents, I've served two, I have never seen such a groundswell of public support since Obama.
And Irish Times Washington correspondent Keith Duggan joins me to give the lowdown on Kennedy's vice presidential pick, Nicole Shanahan. This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, RFK Jr., the Kennedy fighting to be the next US president. Pippa, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., known as Bobby, or actually more often in the American media as RFK Jr., with that famous family name and his past work in crusading environmentalism, he looked like a good bet to carry on the Kennedy political legacy for the Democratic Party. Last April, he attempted to get on the Democratic ticket. But then, in October, he announced he was running for president as an independent. Now, on this side of the Atlantic, we don't hear so much about independence in US politics. Was that decision simply down to a total lack of support within the Democratic Party?
Oh, it's very simple. The Democratic Party could see that he was going to win the primaries, and they didn't want a challenge to the incumbent president. So they changed the rules and they said, okay, if you're going to be in the primaries, you have to win something like 80% of the votes in the first handful of states or you're disqualified. So since they moved the bar, he said, fine, okay, I get it. I'll run as an independent. Because you won't let me in the race, basically. No one wanted a challenge to the incumbent president. And as an independent, what's really interesting and new is that for the first time in American history, the polls are showing that something between 45% and 69% of Americans no longer identify as Republican or Democrat, but as independents. So it's strange because the traditional metrics for measuring how everything is going are based on talking to the people who are active in politics. Kennedy is drawing in a new crowd that have never participated in politics before, rather like Obama did. But also he's pulling equally from both Trump and Biden. So this is flummoxing all the traditional professional analysis.
Well, I was struck by something he said at a recent fundraiser. He said, and I'm quoting him here, "We've been stuck in the two-party system for so long." And he said that he represents the embodiment of what the middle of the road is. What's his version of middle of the road?
This is a great question. So he is rather like a Bill Clinton Democrat in that he says, we should be kind to the entrepreneurs because they're building tomorrow's economy. So we shouldn't tax them. But major corporations are paying pretty much zero because they have the best lawyers, and that's not right. So he's a pro-business, but at the same time, acknowledging something needs to happen on the tax base. So the Democrats the conservative Democrats can lean into that, but also Republicans can. On social issues, he says government really ought to leave you alone once you're at home. Government shouldn't be, for example, regulating the biggest issue in American politics today, which is abortion at the federal level. He says that should be left to the states. Well, that's a very traditional Republican position and a very old-fashioned Democrat position. Plus, on top of that, he basically says, let's go back to the old days and have both sides talk to each other again. Let's talk to everybody. Let's get everyone back in the middle. Well, we know from the polls over the last two decades that this is where the public wants to go. They don't like the extremism in American politics, and there is nobody else in the middle. So he's kind of owning that central ground.
Now, when he announced his intention to run as a third party candidate, as an independent, he said, Americans are angry at being left out, left behind, swindled, cheated and belittled by a smug elite that has rigged the system in its favor. Now, there's a real feeling of male outrage off that statement, is there? Has he been taking notes from Donald Trump?
Well, in a sense, yes. And Trump has exactly the same line. And interestingly, they are the two most popular candidates. Trump is acing it in the Republican primaries, much to the surprise of all international observers. And the two of them are very aligned on many issues. They're very aligned on we shouldn't be in what they call forever wars. They are, so in other words, cut a deal, stop the fighting in Ukraine, this kind of approach. So yes, the outrage that you hear is something from a much bigger story, which is what has elevated Trump into the position where even if he's convicted, there is still a chance that he wins the presidency, which is, of course, historic and extraordinary.
Do you want a man for president who's seasoned through and through? A man who's old enough to know
and young enough to do?
Well, it's up to you, it's up to you.
It's strictly up to you.
American Value 2024 is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
So that was a clip, Pippa, as I'm sure you know, from Kennedy's ad. It ran during the Super Bowl. It cost a reported $7 million. And what's striking about it, of course, is that it's a carbon copy of an ad that ran during his uncle JFK's presidential bid in 1960. How did the wider Kennedy family react to it?
My question would be, why does that matter? Because everybody understands that most of the Kennedy family is aligned with the Democratic National Party and the current president. So that isn't really the key question, I think. The key question is, how did the public react? And what was the purpose of that ad? And I would say that every presidency is associated with a technology, right? Trump won on Twitter. Obama won on YouTube. This is a podcast and Instagram presidency. The young follow those channels, and that's where Kennedy is winning. But the boomers, the older generation, they don't see him because he's not on mainstream media. And therefore, the Super Bowl was in some ways a very brilliant choice to put that hearkening back to the 60s because it reminded the boomers of the Kennedy family. Now, let's remember, anybody under the age of 45 or 50 doesn't remember the Kennedys. They don't have any, that's like a thing in the history books that they probably didn't study. For the boomer generation, they remember. And so that was just a reminder. And honestly, it has put Kennedy into the public debate in a way that he wasn't before.
Yeah, and I suppose, Pippa, it should be pointed out that RFK Jr., he issued a statement apologizing for the ad. He said he didn't make it and he had no involvement in it. Does he get support, though, from the Kennedy family?
I think the Kennedy family is massive and he gets support from some of them and not others. So, like most families.
When you announced your run, there were some members of the Kennedy family who were not happy about it. They wrote in a statement, quote, "The decision of our brother Bobby to run as a third party candidate against Joe Biden is dangerous to our country." And they said that while you might share the same name as our father, you do not share the same values, vision, or judgment. Today's announcement is deeply saddening for us. We denounce his candidacy and believe it to be perilous for our country.
Well, now, running for U.S. president is very, very expensive. Where is he getting his money from?
This is really interesting. So I mentioned Obama went on YouTube. Part of that was he was raising money from individuals in $1,000 increments, which at the time, everyone in politics laughed at and said, you cannot win the presidency $1,000 at a time. Because in America, we're talking millions in campaign contributions coming from major corporations. Kennedy has said, look, I am never going to get, and nor do I want, any of the money from the corporations. So only the public can support me. And then he interestingly says, I know you're experiencing inflation. I know you can't pay all your bills. So don't send me $100. But if you can afford to send me $10, I will represent your voice. Well, this is resulting in a record number of contributions, and he started to out fundraise both Biden and Trump with individuals. And this is enough. And I, as a person, I work in the tech sector, and I think it's so fascinating. We know that little tech companies constantly threaten the big tech companies. Well, this is what we're witnessing now in politics, a little guerrilla strategy based on podcasts and Instagram and $10 to $100 donations is suddenly producing approval ratings that put Kennedy neck and neck with Trump and Biden, which is quite incredible.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
Now, RFK, he is, I think, without doubt, a controversial figure. And a lot of the controversy centers around the fact that he's become a leading voice in the anti-vaccine movement. He's been accused of perfecting the art of illusion of fact when spreading disinformation on the issue. Do we know what prompted Kennedy to take up that particular cause?
Yeah, this is one of the most fascinating aspects of this presidential race. So Kennedy has been suing the pharma companies and the American government's regulatory establishment on drugs and vaccines for something like 25 or 30 years. So this is a long-standing issue that he's had. And his fundamental position, which got sort of collapsed down to being an anti-vaxxer, the fundamental position is the regulatory process is paid for by the pharma companies. That shouldn't be how we do this. More and more Americans are asking this question about the entire regulatory process. Is it correct that corporates pay the budgets and salaries of those regulating them? And I think that's where the focus is. But let me put in a kind of a little bit of a mind bender that's been very interesting to observe. I think we have to remember most of mainstream media generates a huge proportion of its annual revenues from pharma advertising. And so Kennedy has said, I'm going to make pharma advertising on the public airwaves illegal, as it is in every country in the world except the United States and New Zealand. Well, that's a problem if you depend on that advertising revenue, which, like I say, most of mainstream media does.
I don't know. I mean, I think being, you know, cautious and wary and worried about Big Pharma and its influence is one thing, but being an anti-vaxxer at this time in our evolution is a difficult one. I mean, in Samoa, there was a significant drop off in vaccine rates after two children died in 2018 when there was a problem with a measles vaccine. It was that a nurse had incorrectly mixed it. And the national vaccine program was suspended for months. And then in June 2019, Kennedy visited Samoa and he galvanized the anti-vaccine movement there with clear results in the lack of uptake of vaccines in Samoa.
Interesting. I don't know about the Samoa case, but I do know that the fundamental position that he now has is we shouldn't be mandating an untested vaccine. Not that all vaccines are bad, and he's vaccinated on everything else you can be vaccinated on, but this is such an interesting, important question at a time when now we're getting the data back on this particular vaccine that he was objecting to at the time 2 years ago to do with COVID. I think what really matters as an observer of American politics, and, you know, that's my role is, you know, I'm an economist. I'm trying to figure out who's going to win this thing and what are the issues driving the American public and why are they so heavily leaning towards both Trump and Kennedy? Why are they not supporting Biden as much as everybody expected? And what I'm finding is, you know, when I go across America is that the hesitation and reluctance about the current approach to vaccines is quite pervasive. And it is more and more in the news that, you know, the original promises of everyone would be protected if they had the vaccine. And then maybe it's only a much lower percent efficacy. All of this is playing into public opinion on the issue. So I'm not saying whether Kennedy's right or wrong on this, but I think both he and Trump picked up on this fear factor in America that still is there and isn't being addressed by the president. And therefore, it's sort of a fair game subject. Maybe that's a way to think about it.
Coming up, Irish Times Washington correspondent Keith Duggan on RFK Jr.'s vice presidential pick, Nicole Shanahan.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Keith, RFK Jr. announced his vice presidential pick, and that's California lawyer Nicole Shanahan. What do we know about her, and why did Kennedy choose her as his running mate?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the cynical answer, Bernice, would, you know, that there are many, many millions of reasons why he chose her. But she's been known within the tech field for quite some time. But as a political figure, she's very much a new arrival. There was kind of speculation a few weeks ago that Kennedy Jr. might be picking Aaron Rodgers, the NFL quarterback, as his running mate. But it became clear that he was going to go in a different direction. And yeah, so Nicole Shanahan, her background could not be more different than RFK Jr.'s. She grew up in extreme poverty or fairly extreme poverty in Oakland. Her mom emigrated from China in the 1980s. Her father, she has said, struggled to find work and had various mental health issues. So she grew up in a fairly impoverished background, and she was a striver, and she managed to get herself through college. And she credits the internet with basically giving her the tools to enable her to apply for various places and to sort of just claw her way up. She became very successful in her own right, and then she became a public figure after she became engaged and got married to Sergey Brin, one of the co-founders of Google. They were together for 4 years. They had a child, and they separated. I think they separated in 2021 and divorced quietly last year. And now she has been sprung into the spotlight again as RFK Jr.'s running mate. The obvious thing to say about her is that she has extreme wealth. The divorce settlement, the exact figure was undisclosed, but she's presumed to be extremely wealthy. And the RFK campaign is going to need money if it's going to get the oxygen to get up off the ground at all.
And what are the latest polls saying about RFK Jr.?
I mean, last time I checked, he's been polling fairly steadily. Again, the constant noise is that he's extremely popular amongst the under 35s. How that bears out between now and the summer remains to be seen. But I mean, he has managed to really draw in surprisingly high numbers, given that he's seldom in the mainstream news here. It's all Donald Trump and, to a lesser extent, President Joe Biden. So he's very much a marginal figure. But the favorability polls don't reflect that.
And finally, Keith, where is he in terms of securing ballot access across the states? Because it's not so straightforward for him. He's an independent. He has to first get on the ballot. So what does that process involve?
It involves behaving as though you are a major party. For a start, it's going to require money, and it's going to require a lot of signatures, a million signatures. So they're going to need to obtain those signatures to get on the ballots in all 50 states, which when she was announced, Nicole Shanahan said that's her goal for the next 7 months, is to make sure that they get on those ballots. It's an expensive business. It could well mean legal actions in various states. I think RFK is already threatening to sue Nevada over moves to render the signatures he secured for there invalid. So it's going to be messy and costly, but at the same time, it's not beyond possibility. It's been done before. Ross Perot did it. I think Ross Perot is the only presidential candidate who managed to get on all 50 state ballots without any sort of legal infraction. So they're going to be busy for the next few months, but they've announced early and they've got time and possibly the financial clout to make it happen.
The daughter of immigrants who overcame every daunting obstacle and went on to achieve the highest levels of the American dream. So that is why I'm so proud to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, Nicole Shanahan.
Pippa, has he played it all to his Irish-American background? Has he been looking at those voters? Is he trying to appeal to them?
I haven't seen any sign of that. Maybe it has. I mean, I'm not watching his campaign that closely. But I do find it very interesting that the Irish have this, you know, long-standing, very romantic fascination with the Kennedys. And yet here we have something quite historic happening with an independent candidate suddenly being neck and neck with the major candidates in the polls. And when I came to Ireland recently for a CFA dinner, the Chartered Financial Accountants held a big dinner that I spoke at, that nobody knew. And I was like, wait, you're Irish. How can you not know that there's a Kennedy in play?
Look, it's a long way to November. Do you think it's going to be a three-horse race?
I do. I think this is a three-horse race. But I think two of the horses may come together. I think that Trump and Kennedy could align. And there's a possibility if Trump wins that he would appoint Kennedy to government in some capacity to take on the whole, what both of them would call corporate capture of the American regulatory system. If Kennedy were to win by contingent election, I bet he appoints Trump to go handle some of the biggest, most difficult issues, like go cut the deal. You said you could solve the problem in Ukraine in a day. Okay, you go do that. And suddenly, yeah, if those two align, that's a very different picture than the current view that it's Trump versus Biden.
Dr. Pippa Malgram, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's it for today. For more on the US presidential race, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by John Casey. In the News, we'll be back tomorrow.